Intelligent design and DNA. Scholars can't explain it all away. Get ready to be awed by the handiwork of God. Tune in to Real Science Radio. Turn up the Real Science Radio.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Real Science Radio. I'm Bob Enyart. Continuing yesterday's interview, it's not only unbelievers who will cancel Christians and rob our freedom. For example, the pre-med graduates of Bob Jones University, they score above the 90th percentile on the standardized medical college admission test. Yet the Christian author of a Wall Street Journal piece seeks to pull accreditation from Christian universities like Bob Jones unless they cave to that threat and remove creationism from their science courses, and worse, unless Bob Jones will accept faculty members who reject the school's own beliefs and will teach students to reject scientific creation. So that's cancel culture from Christian biomedical engineer Joshua Swamidas. For today's conclusion of the discussion, I have to correct an error I made. I was insisting that world-class scientist Dr. James Tour is a young earth creationist. I interviewed him recently, and while I knew that he denied being an intelligent design advocate, that movement is mostly secular in nature, I thought that not only was he a creationist, which he is, but I wrongly thought that he was a young earth creationist. Now, you'll hear me argue that incorrectly in today's program, and Dr. Swamidas correctly insisting that I was wrong. Immediately after the interview, I fact-checked myself. I used the powerful search tool at rsr.org, and I saw that I was wrong. And so I sent an email to both Joshua and to James Tour, letting Dr. Tour know that in a pre-recorded radio interview about to be broadcast, I was going to incorrectly identify him as a young earther and that I would immediately correct the matter. Dr. Tour, he's so gracious, he replied to me and to Joshua, and he wrote, and I'll quote verbatim, and paste this on today's show summary, quote, "To clarify, I am a creationist. I do believe that God, through his son Jesus Christ, created the heavens, the earth, and all that is in them." And then he goes on to add, "As far as the time it took for creation, the age of the earth and the age of the universe, I have no idea. That often renders me an outcast from scientific communities." So, because he doesn't make a commitment neither to a young earth nor to billions of years, he often becomes an outcast. Understood. There are websites that correctly report that Dr. Tour does not want to be labeled as an intelligent design advocate. There are many ID advocates who are secular, by the way, but other websites incorrectly claim that James Tour is not a creationist. So here we have authoritatively in writing from the man himself to clarify, "I am a creationist," period. And he underlines, "am," "I am a creationist." Meanwhile, I'm glad that Joshua didn't take me up on the wager I offered. At the end of today's interview, you'll hear me being dismissive of Dr. Swamidas asking me why I was so frustrated with him. I didn't want to go there again because I had said it 10 times already. And here's an example from how he mishandles Genesis to try to win an argument. It's about thorns and thistles and Adam's sin. Taking Genesis at face value, there were no thorns, that is, the blooms which failed to open. There were no thorns until after Adam sinned, because the thorns were part of the curse of the ground that resulted from the fall. Now that provides a powerful young earth argument, because thorns exist in rock layers that are claimed by old earth Christians to have fossilized 100 million years before the age of man. So either the rock layers and fossils are young, or Genesis is wrong and thorns preceded Adam's fall. Well, old earth Christians, they don't like either option. So what did Joshua claim? That there had been thorns all along, but they were outside of the Garden of Eden, perhaps for 100 million years. They were outside of the garden, but when God said, because of your sin, now there will be thorns, God meant just thorns inside the Garden of Eden. But of course, that cannot be the meaning, because God immediately kicked Adam out of the garden. Yet he said that the thorns would cause Adam to sweat and toil as he worked the ground all the days of his life. So the thorns that God was talking about, of course, are not the thorns just inside the garden, but those outside all over the earth, because man's sin corrupted the perfect creation. I'll excerpt for you. I have it right here, Genesis 3. When God said to Adam that because he had sinned, quote, cursed is the ground for your sake, in toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life, both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field, in the sweat of your face you shall eat bread. Then the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed cherubim at the east of the Garden of Eden and a flaming sword to guard the way. That story cannot be understood unless you're willing to twist it beyond recognition to claim that Adam's fall resulted in thorns only in the garden, but they had been growing outside of the garden all along. I argue that Christians who reject the Bible's teaching of a young earth bring violence to the text. Now, here's another example of my frustration from yesterday's first half of the interview. Dr. Swamidas made another bizarre argument that I'm still having difficulty following. In Mark 10, when Jesus quoted Genesis chapter 1, that at the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female, Swamidas claims that the Lord was not reminding us of when God created mankind and when he instituted marriage, that is, from the beginning of the creation itself, but rather that Jesus was somehow rebutting something like transgenderism, or some denial of male and female, or he was rebutting homosexual marriage. So he brought up a parallel passage in Matthew 19, where a couple paragraphs after Jesus says that at the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female, a couple paragraphs later, he goes on to talk about celibacy. And in that context, he does mention eunuchs, but it's taking this totally out of context to claim that was the Lord's point about God making us at the beginning of creation. By the way, the word creation is not a verb. It's a noun. The creation is the universe. When we trust in Christ, we become a new creation. The whole show, as often said, is called the creation. The word creation summarizes everything that God made. So God made us at the beginning of the creation. That doesn't mean that he made us on day one of the creation week. That means when you look at the universe, the whole show, the cosmos, that God made us at the beginning of that creation, just as Jesus said, and he was quoting from Genesis chapter 1, which starts, in the beginning, God created. So Jesus was reminding the rabbis of when God instituted marriage and how important marriage is, that God instituted marriage at the same time, in fact, on the same day, the sixth day of creation, when he made man. Yes, at the beginning of the creation of God. He wasn't arguing against homosexual marriage or some such absurdity. Now that's an anachronism. One other reason for my frustration. Dr. Swamidas' Wall Street Journal article is part of the cancel culture. And even though he's a Christian himself, it's cancel culture against Bible-believing Christian colleges. Change the way we tell you to. Drop teaching evidence for biblical creation in your science classes, or I will call for medical schools to reject your students. For I say your schools should not be accredited unless you are willing to have faculty members who teach against a recent creation. He called that academic freedom. What a wonderful euphemism for compelling, for robbing people of their freedom. I call it forcing Hebrew University to hire an imam advocating for Sharia law. It's cancel culture, and it's robbing us of liberty. And worse, by one of our own, who's pretending to be magnanimous about it. Because guess what? If we cave, then he says he won't call for our graduates to be rejected by medical school. Isn't that wonderful? So Joshua did what Calvinists do in debate. Instead of defending his position, he claimed that, well, you don't understand my position. He was pretending that he hadn't argued in the Wall Street Journal that Christian schools should lose their accreditation unless they compromise. And that's his word. In the ways that he wrote, they must compromise. One method he used to dodge this was to claim that any such changes would not be up to him personally, but up to the accreditation organizations themselves. No kidding. But that's deceptive. We're talking about his proposal, not theirs. Another method he used to dodge and obfuscate, and this is confusing, but confusion is a tool that people use when they want to win an argument. They want to make the audience think that they must be right. So they introduce confusion. So he pretended that he was agreeing with me and with creationist colleges, showing that he's so reasonable and that there's really no disagreement at all. And the way he did that was to interpret the word creationist differently when he uses it and when I used it. When he used it, it meant scientific creationism, right? Which is also considered young earth. When I said that he wanted to force Christian colleges to stop teaching creationism in their science classes, otherwise lose their accreditation, he claimed I misunderstood his article. Well, how could that be? You see, he was playing a game. If I didn't say each time scientific creationism, but if I only said creationism, that was the hook he used for obfuscation, like he did with the thorns and the eunuchs, anything to win an argument. And if you can manipulate the audience into thinking that your old earth Christian perspective shows you to be the reasonable one, then so much the better. So in his Wall Street Journal piece, let me read a couple excerpts, because one listener said yesterday it took them two or three times of hearing the disagreement before they realized that Joshua was not being true to what he had written in his own article. So he writes about the top accreditation board in America. It's called CHEA, for CHEA Earth, I guess. I mean, same thing. Hey, Pinky, let's take over the world. So this accreditation board, CHEA, Joshua asked whether they, quote, should continue to recognize a young earth creationist accreditation organization. So he then describes the nation's Young Earth Christian Accreditation Group. It's called TRACS. And he adds, as a medical doctor and research scientist, I reject Young Earth creationism. I perceive a readily observable fact. Earth is billions of years old. Isn't that something, you just observe that? It's not so readily perceived, by the way, when you break open dinosaur bones and find blood in them. But he goes on to argue that the top accreditation group, Chia Earth, that Chia should hold creationist colleges like Bob Jones to what he calls a, quote, higher standard on science. And he writes, quote, a committee could develop recommendations for the institution to adopt. That's the creationist college and the creationist accreditation group. Absent some compromise, a renewal of accreditation should be denied. So you get that? So he's saying if the creationist organizations won't compromise the way he says they should, then we should reject their accreditation. And what that means is that their graduates should not be able to apply to medical school, for example. He writes, deviations from national norms in a science curriculum need to be tracked and reported. How's that? Talk about a leftist control freak. Cancel culture doesn't only come from unbelievers. Deviations need to be tracked and reported. Credit from courses that include creation science should not be used towards science degrees, nor should they be eligible for transfer. Then he writes that if a creationist organization is to be, quote, recognized, it should also give more space to faculty, more space to, that means they should allow, faculty who disagree. He writes, a reasonable process would require creationist institutions to align with national norms. They should defend the academic freedom of, and that's faculty, of those who dissent from scientific creationism. So Bob Jones, if they have a professor who begins teaching against creation science, they have to keep him. Otherwise, their graduates cannot apply to medical school, for example. So during our interview, Joshua Swarmadas is simply denying his own writing. He denied that he wrote that creationist colleges should be forced to pay faculty who reject creationism. He denied that he wrote that. And the main way he denied it was this game he played. Talk about obfuscation, where if I only say the word creationism and I don't say scientific creationism, then I'm misrepresenting his position. So he's able to completely say, Bob, you don't understand. I never wrote anything like that. I totally agree with you. That is obfuscation, intentionally confusing the matter to manipulate the audience into thinking that you're probably correct. But thankfully for us, we do have the brightest audience in the country. So even when it's tough, the tough get going. So Joshua ends his column writing, quote, correct remedies will take time. Oh, isn't that nice of him to fix us? But creationists should understand the significant benefits for their universities if brought into alignment with national educational norms. That is so sweet. Makes me want to barf. Yeah, the benefits are he won't prevent their graduates from applying to medical school and so on. That's very big of him. And then he closes with this, unconditionally renewing creationist accreditation is unacceptable. How's that from a Christian? Huh? Bob Jones University and the Christian accreditation group that provides them their accreditation every so many years. It's unacceptable to renew their accreditation unless they cave on scientific creation. I almost think that Dr. Swamidas doesn't want people to read the original article he wrote in the Wall Street Journal. You know why? Because on his own website, he says that article is behind a paywall, and per the agreement with the journal, I can't post the full article here until 30 days go by. And so I've repeatedly emailed and asked him and his assistant, guys, 30 days have gone by plus 10 days. Could you post the whole article? But it's almost like he doesn't want people to read his original article. He only wants to say to all his critics, and there are many, that, no, you misunderstood my article. So now let's join the conversation in progress.
I'd like to read your fourth to the last paragraph for the audience, because I'm in shock of what you're claiming you wrote.
Sure.
You said, okay, if we're going to accredit these Christian creationist universities, institutional tolerance of dissenting views ought to be a two-way street. If this creationist accrediting institution, TRACS, is recognized, it should also give more space to students and faculty who disagree over key issues. TRACS member institutions operate by belief or faith statements with varying levels of tolerance for dissent. And then you're very gracious. You say a reasonable process would not require creationist institutions to modify their faith statements. That's so nice of you, Doctor. But to align with national norms, TRACS should defend the academic freedom of those who dissent from scientific creationism. You wrote that faculty who reject creationism need to be protected at Christian creationism.
No, I did not say reject creationism. I said dissent from scientific creationism.
Right, exactly.
That qualifier is important. So creationism is something like an important way. Okay, I'm a creationist. I believe God created all of us.
Well,
right?
Every time I've mentioned creationism, I've meant scientific creationism. Every time. That's what your article is about. That's what we're talking about.
But here's the thing. Let's go to Bob Jones. A great example. Does it actually include scientific creationism in its belief statement? It doesn't.
It takes it for granted that people understand what they mean when they say six-day literal creation.
Todd Woods is a six-day literal creationist who dissents from young earth creationism, the scientific side of it, in key ways. He would have no problem with that belief statement, and he is a six-day young earth creationist who believes in a global flood. He is clearly a young earth creationist, but he would dissent from scientific creationism. So the question is, why should he be held to a standard that isn't actually in their belief statement? And there's rules in accreditation about this. You just ask, who am I? It's not about me. Accreditors have said that you're not allowed to do that. That's part of their existing rules.
You affirm that.
I affirm what?
You affirm that rule. You're affirming
I think belief statements should be allowed. It's part of the First Amendment and freedom of association.
That's so wonderful when liberals tell us, well, you have the right to free speech. It's so wonderful that we get affirmed in that way so often.
No, it's a freedom of association. The idea that institutions can decide who they hire and enforce that they're actually following particular beliefs, that's allowed. But here's the thing, and I think that's a good thing to be clear. It's part of the First Amendment. If it wasn't part of the First Amendment, I think that we should sign other protections for it. But it is part of the First Amendment. That's a good thing, all right? The issue is, that institutions need to apply those belief statements fairly and with consistency.
And they need to hire faculty who reject their fundamental beliefs.
That's not what I said. You're kind of inferring stuff that the audience could decide.
The audience could decide whether you are playing games with your own words.
The other example I gave is Bill Dembski. Bill Dembski is not a young earth creationist, so he's not a creationist in the way we've been talking about it. He is with Intelligent Design Movement. Have you interviewed Bill Dembski here?
No, I haven't, but thank you for suggesting that. Perhaps we will.
Yeah. So this is a great thing to interview him on. He was on the faculty at, I think it was Southwestern Baptist Seminary.
Yes, right. Exactly.
They have a belief statement, and he was okay with that belief statement. And then he found out, after he was there for a little while, that all of a sudden people were very concerned because he did not affirm a global flood. He published some stuff where he was exploring the idea of a local flood. And then all of a sudden he got called into the president's office, and he's sitting down there talking to administrators who basically said, if you can't affirm a global flood, even though he had a scriptural and theological basis for taking a different point of view, and he also rejected evolution, all of that stuff, because of that, they said, we're going to have to fire you. And so he had to violate his conscience and renounce those beliefs that he really held, even though that it's not even in their belief statement. There's a point where that's just not fair. That's just an abuse of power.
Is there any evidence that you think you might find in your life? Like if the journal Science published the discovery of dinosaur blood inside dinosaur bones, they published that paleontologists have found dinosaur blood. Is there any kind of evidence that would get you to question perhaps the strata layers were laid down rapidly, and perhaps these dinosaur bones are recent? I mean, if dinosaur blood...
I'm not anti-young Earth. I just have seen a lot of evidence for...
Well, how about that?
Understood with my own two eyes and my own brain.
How about that?
That I can't make sense of in light of young Earth creationism.
Well, how about that? How about dinosaur blood?
If someone could make sense of that for me, I would be open to it.
I'd love to try.
No one's been able to actually make sense of it.
Well, how about on one concrete?
What I'm saying, kind of like what you're doing right now.
On one concrete,
a couple things.
On one concrete offer of proof, right? Let's say they found dinosaur blood. It's not permineralized. It didn't turn into stone. They broke open a dinosaur bone, and there's blood, red blood cells.
Yeah, but science doesn't work that way. It's not you find one proof and everything changes.
Well, what if then 30 science journals published that they're finding dinosaur soft tissue? Proteins are being sequenced.
Look, the most likely things are that those things are preserved longer than we thought. And then that is that maybe some dinosaurs survived in some places a lot longer than we thought.
And it's the greatest discovery in the history of paleontology that we now have blood from a T-Rex. We now have DNA, parts of the double helix from a hadrosaur. Three different tests, positive inside an osteocyte, a bone cell, inside with its tiny filipodia, fully intact cell. In the nucleus, there's DNA. 30 papers, including the world's leading science journals, including Nature and Science and PNAS and Proceedings and Monthly Notices.
This is a hypothetical you're talking about.
No, this is all real. This is the greatest discovery in paleontology, dinosaur soft tissue, dinosaur blood, and
I'm familiar with the soft tissue stuff, but you said a fully intact cell. That's not true.
No. It is. I'll send you... From 29 journals.
Well,
you
probably aren't meaning fully intact in the way I mean it. That's the only way to make sense of it. Because I've read those papers.
No,
actually.
You have not. There are 57 dinosaur papers, 115 papers of soft tissue documented in fossils up to 100 million, 200 million, 500 million, a billion years old. And we have the list clickable.
Why do you think that establishes the age of the Earth?
Because dinosaur blood, the greatest discovery in the history of paleontology, and the vast majority of the general public has never heard of it, even though it's been out now for 15 years. And most scientists have never heard of it because they recognize the power of when you break open a dinosaur bone.
I mean, you should invite Mary Schweitzer on to discuss this. She's the scientist that discovered it.
We have.
She was raised young Earth creationist too, and she's a Christian now.
Yeah.
Have you talked to her?
No, we haven't. We'd love to, though.
You should talk to her. She would tell you how she understands this and why she's not a young Earth creationist.
Well, because
she's entirely consistent with old Earth creation.
Because
even though she herself was hated
by the rest of the paleontology community.
Yeah, so have her on. Hated and she'll tell you the story of despised, how she took that really unpopular idea and convinced a lot of people.
And despised. Because everyone knew that blood can't survive buried in Montana for 68 million years, 100 million years, 150 million years. Archaeopteryx, there are now, and I'm not exaggerating, we link to each one of these papers, 57 papers published in the scientific journals. And I got a list of all of them right here.
That's all fine.
Of dinosaurs of
tissue. The age of the Earth, man.
Well, doctor, we predicted two things. When that was first published, when they said it was incredibly rare, we predicted that it's not rare, it's common. They're going to find it everywhere they look, and they have. And we predicted that no matter how deep you go in the geologic column, even though they say they get to a billion, 2 billion years old, that they're going to find original biological material. And that's exactly what's been published in 20 years now from the world's leading science journals. The evidence that the strata was laid down by a global flood and that the dinosaurs died recently is overwhelming, including that we have dinosaur blood vessels that are transparent and flexible.
Great.
We have dinosaur nerve bundles. Well, they can't be hundreds of millions of years old. They can't be a billion years old.
What makes you think that they can't be?
Because of the published results of how long collagen could last based on laboratory experiments, decades of efforts to see how long could DNA last? How long could collagen last? What does radioactivity in the crust of the earth do to biological molecules?
So you probably just aren't up to date with how we've made sense of it.
That's quite the opposite. doctor.
Well, look, I mean,
could you do this?
Look, you asked a different question. Like, so yeah. It sounded like it was a lead in to talk about this. But here's the thing. You asked, would I ever change my mind? I'd say I've seen clear evidence to me of an old Earth. I'd have to have a better way of understanding that. That was a young Earth. And I haven't received that.
Well,
that'd be one way. The other way is to have clarity that an old Earth is ruled out by Scripture. But I have not seen clarity in Scripture that way. Like, when I read Scripture, I mean, I trust that God's Word is inerrant and infallible in all that it teaches. You know, I'm from the Lausanne Covenant, all right? I do not see clear evidence in Scripture that it must be a young Earth. Now, if you could show me that, and I could be convinced of that, I didn't understand the science, that'd be enough to change my view.
Well, how about this? That all those millions of Christians who've been told that the Bible's true, but the days were long periods of time, right? Day, age. And they think, well, that's not bad. I could believe that the days, because in the Bible, day is often used, like the day of salvation. That's cool. But what they're not told is that
that's one way to make sense of it. That's not the only way.
No, right. But what they're not told is that then they must also rearrange the order of those days, because the claim that, no, the sun existed before the earth, and land animals became before the birds, right? And
that's not how day age people read it. Like, I mean, if you talk to Hugh Ross, that's not how he's reading it.
Sure.
We have to get back to what literalism is and how to read
plants.
Scripture.
Day three plants.
Are you familiar with
the
Chicago Statements on Inerrancy? I mean, have you
yes.
Have you heard
yes.
of those? Or,
yes.
have you,
yes.
or do you affirm them?
Yes.
Do you affirm?
No, I haven't. No.
Why don't you affirm?
I'm not prepared. I don't have it in front of me, and I'm not prepared to discuss it.
Oh, so you don't affirm inerrancy. That's interesting.
No, I do affirm inerrancy.
Inerrancy is defined.
I haven't read
by
the
Chicago Statements on Inerrancy. I'm confused.
I read Chicago's standard on inerrancy long ago, and I don't recall the details to say on the spot whether I affirm or don't affirm it. Doctor, well,
this is interesting. So you're talking about inerrancy, but you're not even familiar with what the definition of inerrancy is for most theologians.
Right. For the last 2,000 years, unless Christians affirm the Chicago definition of inerrancy, they're not.
Well, no,
really
I'm surprised, but that's okay.
Could
Fine.
I ask you, Doctor? In the last year, I've interviewed two people right smack dab in your firm. Right, I'm thinking of Dr. John Sanford and Dr. James Tour. You might know their names.
Oh yeah, James Tour is a good friend,
that's awesome.
Yeah, I know. James Tour endorsed my book, The Genealogical Adam and Eve. John Sanford is a friend as well too.
Dr. James Tour was just on 3 months ago. You know, he designed a tiny nanoprobe to seek out and destroy pathogens. Too bad it wasn't in time for COVID, right? He's been cited, his papers, 77,000 times in the literature.
Yeah, this guy's the real
patents.
Deal. I know him.
Yeah,
I mean, I was just on his podcast. He was on mine.
600 peer-reviewed papers. So an institution that he affirms, because he is a young earth creationist. He is a young earth creationist.
No, he's not.
Why do you say that?
Because I know him. He's my friend, man. He is open about the age of the earth, and he is inclined towards an old earth.
Well, that's not true.
Look, go watch his interview me on his podcast. You don't know what he thinks.
He's gracious to people. He's gracious to people.
He doesn't care about the age of the earth.
That doesn't mean he's open to it. No, he's trying to reach you, so he focuses on his
No, field. no, man. You're talking about a person who's a friend of mine who I know very well. I think you have misread him.
Okay,
go.
Could we make a gentleman's bet on it as to whether he's an old earth creationist? Yeah.
I said that he's open either way. He doesn't care about it.
No,
and,
I'm saying
you said
he's a younger
creationist. He is not committed. My point is that he's not committed. He does not believe that Scripture insists upon a young earth creationist view. And he does not commit to that view.
My statement that you disagreed with is that Dr. James Tour is a young earth creationist.
He is not a young earth creationist.
It's like nailing jelly to the wall. So Dr. Tour, okay, let's have a gentleman's bet. I'll give $1,000 to your favorite charity.
I'm not
going to
bet money. You said a gentleman's bet.
Well, in other words, not to each other, to your favorite charity, to mine. You know,
I'm not comfortable betting money on the beliefs of friend of mine.
How about
Dr. That's not okay, and I don't like using him as a pawn. Let's just say, you're wrong on that. If you want to have a gentleman's bet, I tell you what.
Yeah.
Invite him on your show and ask him about this.
Okay, we'll do that.
and see what he says. Ask us both. We'll both come on and talk about it.
Stop the tape. This is Bob Inyar interrupting my own program. As you know from my introduction, it turns out that Dr. Tour is not a young Earth creationist. As he replied to my email yesterday, he wrote, "To clarify, I am a creationist," but then he added that he takes no position on the age of the Earth, old or young. He's one of the world's top scientists and leading opponents of the theory of evolution and secular origins, but sadly, and at least for now, he is not a young Earth creationist. We will correct this also in writing on our website at rsr.org/Swamidas, that's Dr. Joshua Swamidas, Swamidass. Cornell, right? The Gene Gunn, Dr. John Sanford.
Yeah, he is a young Earth creationist.
He just got canceled at the National Institutes of Health. He spoke in the NIH.
What do you mean by canceled? I mean, I thought he was able to speak there, and they put his video up and all that. What happened?
They closed down the entire group that invited him because they had the audacity to let a young Earth creationist speak.
Oh, that's unfortunate. Can you give me the information on that? I'd like to follow up on that.
Yeah, he and I talked about that.
I mean, is it in the news anywhere
on the air,
or any information?
Sure.
Can you forward that to me?
Yeah. How about this? Our website, rsr.org/John Sanford.
I want the information about this. I know there's a group at the NIH that are young Earth creationists, and some of
them
invited him. I didn't know they got shut down and why. I'd like to know why.
They were canceled because he...
No, I want to know why. I mean, if you give me the information,
you can hear him
to
explain. It's rsr.org/John Sanford. You'll hear him talking about... I have his talk is right there. You can watch his talk.
But I know about it. I've already seen his talk. I'm wondering about the group that got canceled.
Yeah. Well, as he said on this show... The group was canceled because he spoke. Immediately after his lecture, they were disassembled. And you know what? That's consistent with your Wall Street Journal article.
No, it's not consistent.
Yes, it is, because
it is absolutely not consistent.
If a scientific
creationist school, I think that secular institutions should tolerate dissenting young Earth creationists.
Oh, within your definition of tolerance.
You're hearing me say it right now that they should not, if it's true that administrators stepped in and unfairly deplatformed that group or took away their right to congregate or to access meetings and things like that, that's not right.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
So, Doctor, I want to, you know, I do appreciate how gracious you are. I think you've been more gracious than me. I am so frustrated because I feel like I'm just trying to hold you to your words and you're denying your words. And you think Jesus is talking about transgenders when he's talking about the beginning of creation.
No, I did not think he's talking about transgenders.
Yeah, you sure do.
Look, I think what's going on is that you read stuff and you've inferred a lot of things that just aren't true, but I don't actually think those things. I'm seeing other things. And so it's not that I'm being jello. I'm just trying to clarify a lot of misunderstandings you had about who I am and what I think and what I believe and what I'm asking for.
So a scientific creation Christian college that refuses to continue to employ or to hire a faculty member who rejects scientific creation. You think they have every right to do that, and they should still graduate students to be doctors.
If they do it transparently and honestly, and it's in their belief statement, but if it's not in their belief statement, they don't have the right to do that. It's not complicated.
So,
and they also can't apply it retroactively. There's actually rules on this.
So don't you want to then retract some of what you wrote
in the Wall Street
Journal?
I certainly wanted to clarify it, just so you understand how a Wall Street Journal article works.
Yeah.
It's only 800 words.
So it's necessarily overly brief.
It's meant to stimulate a conversation, which is great that it's happened. And so I wrote a much longer article, a Q&A, in my blog where I clarified a lot of the questions you're raising.
Yeah.
And if people read that article at peacefulscience.org, you'll immediately see that a lot of the reaction to the article was really based on deep misunderstanding.
Far more misrepresentations
of what was said.
Far more people will have read your Wall Street Journal article.
Absolutely.
Than your clarification. And so when you said that the Christian accrediting organization tracks
that they should defend the academic freedom of those who dissent from scientific creationism. That's a verbatim quote out of your article.
Well, I agree with that.
Okay, so that the Christian creationist accrediting institution should defend the academic freedom of those who dissent from scientific creationism. You, every other time I say that, so you say, I don't believe that. You want
me to defend the academic freedom of young earth creationists, which I do, and I want to, and I will, in places where they're not in charge. So why is it that you can't actually conceive of creationists defending the academic freedom of people that don't entirely agree with them on things that aren't even in their belief statement?
People have the right to hire who they want to hire, to pay who they want to pay. And though you think it's somehow your role to lead,
that same argument can be applied to discriminate against young earth creationists.
Of course.
Then, right?
If there is a Jew, the Louis Finkelstein Institute, if they say we're not going to ever hire a young earth creationist, I'm not going to try to get them unaccredited, to shut them down, to cancel them.
Well, no. What I would do is say that's prejudice, and they shouldn't do that. That science doesn't work by belief statements.
Oh, so you think that? So you think a Jewish institution should be forced to hire maybe somebody who believes in Sharia law, somebody who rejects?
Of course not, man.
Well,
there's conflicting demands between belief statements, academic freedom, and national norms.
And it's not up to you or the culture at large.
Of course, it's not up to me. It's up to the creditors
to decide.
It's up to the creditors.
It's, and you're trying to advise the accreditors on how they should, which Christian creationist institutions they should refuse to accredit.
No,
yes,
I said
you
that
are
you should
that's
accredit.
That's exactly what you're doing.
I said we should accredit them. So I'm not really sure where you're getting this from.
Well, I have a note. At one point in your article, I wrote George Orwell. At one point, when you used Newspeak, you said that a committee.
Well, I've already told you that you've misread me.
Well,
so
well
I'm
let me quote
you.
You let
that
me
you're
quote
using
you.
Different definitions on the word.
Let me
to
quote
call
you.
Newspeak implies that it's deceptive.
Let me
but
quote
it's
you
not.
In the Wall Street Journal. You said a committee should develop and issue recommendations for the institution to adopt. That's Orwellian.
To negotiate
that's
a solution.
Newspeak. They're not recommendations.
I said to negotiate a compromise. Look,
they're not recommendations
part,
if you're canceled
part,
if you don't accept them.
Look, this is already part of the accreditor's rules, man. You're kind of acting like this is some crazy thing, but that's actually already part of the accreditor's rules.
Yeah.
That when
actually,
complex issues like this
actually
arise,
right now, Christian scientific creationist institutions are accredited, and you're trying to get them not accredited unless
that's
they agree.
Not true.
Unless
just,
they agree to some kind
false.
Of compromise that you approve of. That's what you're trying
that is,
to do.
That's just
well,
just
now
false.
We're,
I may not
now
be
we're
I mean,
flat
I doubt
out
I will be on that committee. Like
now
I'm
we're flat out
off this
in
is
la la
the
land.
Creditors have to do.
If that's not true, doctor, I don't know how to read. I have no reading comprehension. So we might as well end our conversation. But
look, I'm trying to explain it to you.
Yeah.
Like I don't have to. You're personalizing this in a way that doesn't make any sense. I don't have to approve of anything. They can go
of
do whatever they want.
Of course not. Okay. Thank you, doctor. Really, truly, I do thank you for your time. I'm very discouraged by your article. I think you should Google dinosaur soft tissue.
I'm happy to do that, man. But look,
all right.
Why are you frustrated?
Doctor, thank you. I do. I mean, I'd love to have a cup of coffee with you. I love you. I appreciate you. You believe in the Lord. But thank you very much.
All right. Okay. So you sound like you're upset.
Yeah, but we don't have to psychoanalyze. I really got to go.
All right.
We're flat out out of time.
All right.
Thank you, doctor. You are very generous with your time. I do appreciate that. Except you want to decide who gets shunned.
No, I don't want to shun anyone.
All right. This is Bob Enyart. For Real Science Radio, may God bless you.
Intelligent design and DNA. Scholars can't explain it all away.